Welcome to Garden Society. We are a sisterhood of women exploring holistic ways to rejuvenate from the rigors of daily life. We are wives and moms, sisters and girlfriends, bill payers, breadwinners, multitaskers, and peacemakers.
We invite you to explore the possibility of elevating every day with our favorite plant. Grant yourself permission to chill out, smoke a joint, and get inspired to find your joy with us on Garden Society, the podcast.
This gathering of the Garden Society is now in session.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. We're so honored and excited to welcome our guest, Raven Duckett, onto our show.
So today we're going to be talking about figuring out what you need. So that's everything from how do you find a good mentor? How do you build your network? How do you figure out how much money you want when you start, you know, a raise, really kind of across the board, figuring out the most useful tools, assets, people to bring into your life to build your business. So as we've been going along on, you know, Garden Society, the podcast, we've had a really fun time telling the story of Garden Society and through that bringing in guests that kind of represent different moments from building this business. So today we have Raven Duckett. Raven co-founded Community Gardens, which is a licensed cannabis delivery and distribution company here in Oakland, actually, right where we are recording. She's one of the first verified Oakland equity teams in the state to be licensed for adult use retail. And Raven also founded Herbin Society, I want to make sure and say that correctly, which is a really cool lifestyle brand driven to bring people cannabis products that they can really relate to. They're made by underrepresented minorities, and each box will kind of contain a sesh, as we'll say. I love that you guys use that for a description. So do you want to kind of just tell us a little bit more about how you came to, you know, be where you are with Herbin Society and with the community garden and your background?
Yeah, definitely. So thanks so much for having me today. I'm really excited to be talking to you ladies. So it all started with community gardens, or really all started with the Oakland Equity Program. So previous to cannabis, I was working in tech. Right before starting Community Gardens, I was at Pandora, which is in Oakland, and was awesome. And I really enjoyed it, but I had a dream to be in the cannabis industry. It honestly seems like a lot of fun, you know, to be in it. I had a friend who had worked in it for a couple years, and I just always really admired her job. And so I was looking at Berkeley and Emeryville, as well for, you know, regulations that they would pass that would allow me to open up a delivery service. The delivery service seemed like the easiest and the most affordable way to get into the space as an owner. As I was looking around the city of Oakland past the Oakland Equity Ordinance, which my team was able to qualify for, so we wanted to open the delivery service. We had a path to license with the Oakland Equity Program. The city of Oakland hosted a mixer back in like, what is it, like March or May, maybe May 2017. And it was between people who were qualified for the Oakland Equity Program and people who were interested in incubating people who were qualified for the Oakland Equity Program.
Oh, wow.
So it was like a three-hour event. The first half of it, the city of Oakland officials came up and talked about what the equity program was, what an how you qualify, what an incubator would supply. So to qualify for the Oakland Equity Program, you need to be from a certain area in Oakland for the past 10 of 20 years, and you also need to be below a certain income threshold. In addition to that, or you can also be arrested for a marijuana crime in the city of Oakland within a time frame that is slipping my mind.
I think it's like the early 90s, early 90s, or something like that. Yeah, I was just
Is it you as the founder or your founding team? Or
someone on my team.
One person on your team.
Exactly.
Okay.
And they qualified from residency.
Okay. That's so interesting. And just, I love that you just, had this drive and you went, you didn't say, oh, I'm going to go try working in a dispensary. You just went straight
for
like,
join someone else.
Right. You're like, so I'm going to get a license and I'm going to start my own company.
Why delivery other than the logical path that you laid out? Did you have a passion for serving customers? Did you want to create a new product? Was there something deeper?
I wanted to educate people about the benefits of cannabis. I think there was such, especially in the Black community, I think there was such a negative stigma attached to cannabis. Mm-hmm. And it really goes back to the war on drugs and just the media and the way the media has associated cannabis with people of color, with negative things, like all the way back to like, you know, even before the war on drugs, like Reefer Madness and things like that, you know?
My God, we finally watched that movie, like I think it was last summer, my husband and I. Oh my God, I couldn't even get through it. It was so bad.
I watched a preview and I was like, oh my. And
yeah,
it was,
don't
and it's
waste
just
your
so
time.
Serious. So it's like, yeah. I understand that these aversions and these fears are real and they're generational and they're deep, but I think especially in the Black community, it's time that we start having real conversations about this plant.
Well, you know, just the falsehoods that were practiced and kind of the results of that and, you know, coming back from that from a culture perspective.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's tough and complicated.
So as you kind of dove into the cannabis industry and started building your delivery service, did you have people that you reached out to from like a mentorship perspective or an advisor perspective to help you build the company, or whether they be in cannabis or from your tech world, or
how'd you start? That's a big undertaking. So you go to the mixer and you're
I go
like,
to the mixer, yeah,
I know. Let's do this.
Yeah, yeah.
We qualify.
So at the mixer, they had a like separate rooms that you could go to based on the business type that you wanted. So there was a delivery room, and they're like, okay, everyone just go in the delivery room. So it got real awkward because it was like a speed dating kind of thing.
Yeah, it sounds like blind dates.
Yeah,
like,
but
it
it's like
awkward blind dates.
Right. And you're like, hey, what's up? My name's Raven. Like, I don't know.
So you get really good at pitching your company.
Right, right. And it's funny because so my background, I have a sales and marketing background. So when I was at Pandora, my job was to create material for the sales team to go out and like pitch for advertising. So it's like, you know, I had the skill set to be good at this, which I recognize, like when you talk about equity, a lot of equity applicants wouldn't have that type of skill set that I had. So, but it worked out to my advantage. I met Kiva Confections that day at the City of Oakland Mixer. I met one of their executive members, told her about our business. It was really just kind of like an idea then, like, but we followed up with her via email. We eventually had a meeting with them and had some like business plan that we showed them and stuff like that. And from then on, they agreed to incubate us for delivery. And they were actually really, really, really hands-on with helping us start our delivery service, from setting up on a legal standpoint to like connecting us with our first vendors that we still use today. So it was a woman by the name of Susan who was actually really helpful to us, like starting the delivery service. And without that type of support, I don't think we would have been able to get where we are today.
How much did you have fully baked versus from an idea perspective versus how honest and transparent were you with her when you said, like, we have times where I say, I have no idea what I'm doing or how to do this. Can you help me? Or I go in and say, here's my plan. What do you think? And then get feedback and adjust.
Right. It was definitely more like, here's our plan. Like, we want to do this. We want to do that. And we want to do that. Like, we want to offer products to people that are good for a good medical grade. Like, that was something that we wanted. Like, do we know the people who are going to provide us those products? Like, no, we don't. And so that's where she would come in and be like, oh, well, yeah, I know someone who's really great and makes this really great topical. You should talk to them.
Cool.
So it was kind of like that. It was like, this is what we want to do. Like, how can you support us with that? And they were very with like, okay, I understand what you want to do. Here's what I have on my end.
Well, and that really goes back to that figuring out what you need. So you were asking the right questions to understand what you needed to move the business forward. That's fantastic. And then where did it kind of go from there?
We're still working with them.
So, oh, great.
Yeah.
That's
they are
fantastic.
Our incubators for our delivery.
Okay.
And, you know, that's really part of the reason we were the first equity team in the state of California to be licensed for adult use delivery. Our license number is 3. So it was really like with that support between the Oakland Equity Program and between the relationship we were able to build with our incubator, we realized that we were able to get, you know, one of the first licenses. So we started the delivery first, and then the one of the many drafts of the regulations that are now permanent came out. One of the early drafts. And we kind of realized that if we ever wanted to get margins where they needed to be, we should probably pursue a distribution license. Mm-hmm. And that came in like November of 2017 or something like that. But through our connections, we were able to connect with Jetty Extracts, who was also looking for someone to incubate at the time and had space for distribution. So we were able to strike up a deal with them for incubating, and we were able to get our distribution license
That's fantastic. Awesome.
Other than sheer luck, how did you find these partners?
Right. I'm like,
because one thing we talk a lot about is this a good networking event to mm-hmm. go to? Mm-hmm. Is it not? Is it worth our time? Is it not? And as being busy moms and founders, it's hard to balance what you should be going to from a networking perspective versus where you need to spend your time.
Well, and you just dropped two really prominent, well-respected names within the industry that helped you guys. And I think that's incredible that you. Not incredible, but it's just
it is
a testament to you and your skill that
and your team
and your team that you were able to get that buy-in, and it sounds like relatively quickly.
Yeah, I think that what this whole podcast about is like understanding what you need kind of hits it on the head. Like you have to be very clear about as a business owner, like what do you need, and like and that comes from like what do you want, which is like the crazier, scarier part.
Like, you're like, wait, I get to ask myself that question. What do I want?
What do I want? Like, I want
that. You know what? That's such a good point to take, though, for our listeners is you know what you want, not just what you need. Yeah. I mean, that's so important to not just building a business, but building a business you can be passionate about.
Exactly. So. And it's like those little steps, you know, before. And so, I mean, we were really big on networking in the beginning, but it was, I don't know, it was just really, I guess that was really our pure luck. We were just right place, right time, because we were in so many places. And, you know, Facebook was really big. Like, this industry loves Facebook. And I also love Facebook. So, like, that actually really helped. But it was, just also going into places, being clear about what we wanted, what we had to offer, what we needed, and things like that.
And probably not being shy to ask for what you needed. Because I think a lot of times women get into a position where they're like, oh, I could never ask that. Or, you know, what we were talking about earlier with, you know, focused on underrepresented founders, being clear on the ask. And so I commend you for that, being direct and upfront early on, because that probably accelerated the process of the partnerships.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think being clear about like where you stand, like how you say, like, you know, I'm creating with Herb and Society, like I'm creating a brand that supports underrepresented minorities. Like, does your brand want to identify with something like that? And the person on the other end of the conversation can either say yes or no. And, you know, you can respect it and move on if you need to, or you can continue the conversation. But if you're able to be clear about what your brand is and what your brand stands for, then those conversations on the other end get, you know, a lot more clear. And they appreciate it and respect it from what I've experienced.
Definitely. So how did you did sort of just like your experience with community gardens drive the founding of Herb and Society, or what kind of was the nexus of you know, moving that new brand forward?
Definitely. So so with us scoring our delivery license, we did operate in the medical market for a little bit, and we saw the uptick in that. And then we entered into the legal market, and we were really actually struggling over the last year.
Well, it's hard.
Yeah.
For anyone.
We struggled too.
It's been hard. You know,
2018 was a year of shit.
It was a shitty, really just tough year for a retailer, for a small retailer like us. Mm-hmm. We, our equity team, like we sunk our like savings into this. So it's like we don't have a lot of cash for like advertising and things like that. And you have really well-funded, well-known, really fancy retailers like Ease, like MedMen, like Harborside, like all these people who are doing all this really great stuff. And so it became a moment where it's like, okay, so what are we fighting for? Like, what's the market share that we're actually fighting for? And when I took a step back, I realized that a lot of the people that I think would identify with my brand, with myself, aren't even participating in the legal market right now. And after I did some research, I kind of figured out, like, not only are most people not participating in the legal, in the regulated market, they're happy with the products that they're purchasing in the unregulated market. And so what really needs to happen is that there needs to be some sort of rally around the legal market, and people need to think it's fun to actually participate in the legal market. And so what we're doing is building experiences around products in the legal market that necessarily you can't even really get in the unregulated market. And you get more transparency into who you're buying from, how to use it, what to do with it. So you're building value, you're building brand affinity, and people can feel good about what they're buying.
Who they're supporting.
Exactly.
And you're able to tell that story in a way that's very real and it can resonate with your, you know, target consumers. And I think that's something that's like a value proposition from, you know, regulated market versus black market. Mm-hmm. And so helping people kind of understand that shift and driving consumer demand so that they are able to go, you know, feel good about going into the regulated market. But I mean, it's a huge educational, you know, not even a step, a huge leap that needs to be made.
Yeah, it is. And it's going to take a lot of education. I feel like we talked about it earlier, something that really, really scares me is enforcement on the unregulated market. I think that we are in a very interesting place in cannabis history where equity is a big deal everywhere. You know, in the state of California, other states are looking at it, talking about it.
Federally, they're talking about it.
And it's a lot of good feelings and it's a lot of like virtue and stuff like that. But being an equity candidate and dealing with the realities of going legal in the California market, it's very tough. It's very expensive. The incentive right now is low. The enforcement right now is low, but that will all change. And I worry that we have equity programs that are real today because a lot of people went to jail for selling weed, but our enforcement programs are going to send a lot of people to jail for selling weed.
Mm-hmm. So, it's a cycle that's going to repeat itself.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So I feel like I just want to get people away from the unregulated market and more of a, you know, natural,
organic,
good feel,
organic, way.
Like, you know, because it's like if everyone just starts getting scared to like text the dude that they usually text for whatever, then it's like that's not a really fun way to get someone to walk into your store.
It's not a way to build a healthy market and healthy consumer demand. I'm sorry, earlier I should have used the term unregulated market. I need to get better about using that. So I would love to just talk a little bit more about your work with the initiative now as well and kind of how you found that network and sort of what made you feel safe and good about, you know, moving forward with them and what you've gained from that.
Yeah. So I started the initiative this January, and that was to build out Herbin Society. And I've been there about 7 to 8 weeks now. And what we've been really focused on is learning how to raise money, preparing your company for venture funding or angel funding. It's been a really amazing experience. I have pivoted my company. I've changed a lot. I've met a lot of great people. I've gotten a lot of great mentors. We are preparing to pitch in Portland at a tech fest. We're pitching at ArcView in Canada in April. And then we're also hosting a demo day in May coming up. So,
woohoo! Go, girl!
So how often are you up there and like how many hours are you spending on this?
Yeah, I'm up there most of the week. So usually at least like Tuesday through Thursday, maybe sometimes Tuesday through Friday. That's usually when we have content. So the first couple weeks were really like regimented. So we had like an introduction week where we had Emily Paxia and Tahira come out and talk to us about just what it means to be in the accelerator, what it means to raise. We had like a really good week on that. And then we had 2 weeks of legal where you got like really deep into like estate planning and corporate governance and like taxes.
I mean, all super important, but all super snoozers too.
Those weeks were intense. We were like, oh my God.
You're like this is really important, but oh my God,
you're like, boring. Your estate. I'm like, no, not yet. I'm not planning to die.
Right.
And then we, after we had like public speaking and like sales support. And so it's been awesome. There's 10 companies in total.
Great.
So all women led, some hemp, CBD, some beauty companies and stuff like that. The girls are, a lot are from Portland, but some are from New York. And it's just been a really great experience. It's been tough. We meet with like a lot of investors. We meet with our team together. And it's tough because you, as a founder, have so much passion and understanding and like, you know, love for your brand. And I would say in an accelerator, it's not as much handholding as I had anticipated it being in a good way. I think like, you know, as like women, we're used to like kind of like coddling each other, which is good sometimes. But when it comes to like raising money and getting ready to like be venture ready, like you can't do that.
I mean, it's a challenge is really at the end of the day. But that's awesome because the more challenging, the more kind of grit you earn. And
that's really cool. And you're more ready. You're ready for what's to come.
Yeah, definitely.
And I also think there's something Carly and I talk a lot about when you really push yourself, how you're in the moment and it feels so hard or difficult or unknown. But then when you step back and you accomplish it and you step back, it just makes you more resilient. And I think resiliency is something that's so important in founders, especially founders in cannabis, because what we've all gone through for the past 3 years in this industry and continue to like, basically our horizon is unknown. And then it's a roller coaster of good and bad. And what you talk about, legal market versus the illegal market or unregulated market versus whatever is in front of us with federal legalization, resiliency is what we all need the most.
Yes, I totally agree.
Definitely. So, I mean, there's just a lot to it. It's really complicated. But I think that what you're doing is such an interesting way to break down that entrepreneurship and kind of like understanding, you know what you want and what you need, and then going to these people and them kind of like making you think in a different way where it's actually like, oh, wait, no, that's not what I need. I need this over here. So that, I mean, that's just all the, you know, the business of business building. But I think you're, it sounds like in the accelerator, it really is pushed forward at a much faster rate.
How do you find in the accelerator or even in your business to be able to confidently understand what you need? Because I think that's a hard thing. We're going to go out for a fundraise and trying to figure out, should we raise 5 million? Should we raise 8 million? Should we raise 3 million? And there's, it's one thing to ask for it, but it's another thing to ask for it with confidence.
Right.
So what are some skills or some activities you're doing to be able to build that confidence into what you need?
Right. I usually, what I've learned in the accelerator really is I work back from my milestones. And so I say, you know, in the next year, like for my raise that I'm preparing for, my milestones are attached to our online visit rate, our social media following, our third-party retailer adoption. So like I'll list those milestones out and then I'll kind of work backward from that and be like, okay, so in order to accomplish this, like what do I need? Like, do I need a booth at a trade show? Like, do I need like whatever kind of thing? And so that's my like long form tail way of doing that.
I love that. I think that's a great way to go.
Yeah, it helps too because I'm like a goal person, like because it's just so many.
So is Aaron. Yeah. I've never seen.
You know, even if you like, you don't make all your goals because it's life, you know, but even if you can like just say like, I didn't make that because of X, Y, and Z happened, at least you know next time you're like, all right, well, I won't do it like that.
So I have a funny story, not to go on a tangent, but in sixth grade, I wrote a letter about myself. And it was in a time capsule and it was for 10 years from then. So I wrote it when I was 12 and it was for when I was 22. And it said, I will go to the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I will have my own apartment or live in the dormitory. I will work. I will like blah, blah, blah. I will like, you know, graduate with a degree in engineering or whatever. I like did every fucking thing on the list. I found the time capsule 4 years ago. I didn't even know it existed, right? And my dad's like, I have this old time capsule. That's, and I opened it up and I was like, the power of goals and the power of writing it down and seeing what you want to become, right? And I just didn't really – I forgot all about it. And I was like, holy cow. I like – either I'm like really uncreative, which potentially could be the case. But that or
– No, you're just extremely goal-oriented.
I think you're my spirit animal. Like, I totally
go, girl.
Understand that because it's like – and I feel like that comes back to like this whole podcast of like what you need is like based on what you want. And what you want is scary because it can – like when you're young and making your goal, you're like, I can do whatever I want now. But like as a founder, I'm like 30. Like I'm scared to like think about what I want.
Well, there's responsibility and there's like a roof over your head. bed.
There's rent payments. There's,
yeah. Right. Like, I'm
still
nervous.
Forget to
right.
Pay rent.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it, yeah.
So I think it's like goals are tangible ways you're writing down what you want, mm-hmm. no matter like how scary it is, no matter how impossible it seems. But if you have that, then you can kind of like work back and then figure out how much you need to raise, figure out what meetings you need to go to, like all that kind of stuff. It'll be a lot more clear. And for me, like I was talking about when I was writing my list this morning and it like, you know.
Stressed you out.
Yeah, like stressed me out. But yeah. It's like good because at least it's like all your stress is all contained on a piece of paper.
Right.
And you're like, okay, I can do this. I see it. Now right. I can like start checking stuff off.
Exactly.
Definitely.
Exactly.
That's so funny. Well, and not being afraid to like not meet your goal or make a mistake along the way and then learn from that. And I think Aaron and I are somewhat new parents, and that's sort of something that you learn through the early stages of parenthood is like, okay, you're going to make mistakes, but your child is still like alive and well and
resilient.
And so the business is sort of like, since we've been building this business in parallel to becoming parents, there are a lot of these like reflective moments where you're like, oh, that's kind of like, you know, raising a kid where, you know, you have to have You can set the goals, but you've got to be able to, you know, fail along the way or right. make little mistakes.
We say we have two toddlers.
Yeah.
The toddler business and the toddler baby.
Oh, yeah. No, I just got married in September.
Congratulations.
Oh, congratulations. Thank you. Did you get married here in the area?
I got married in Pleasanton, California.
Nice.
Palma Vint Center.
Ooh, fun.
So awesome.
It's really, really nice.
Oh,
but yeah,
gosh.
My husband's like kind of like, oh, what's going on with the family?
Family.
Like, like, we have a baby.
Yeah,
business.
You're like, this business is taking up a little bit of my time. I know, Aaron, like, birthed her baby in the middle of birthing this company, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you were so amazing.
I don't know, it was hard. I kind of blurred a lot of that out, right? I blurred yeah. out those like late nights right. with the business and the late nights with the baby. And you know what, we're women, we're amazing in how we can multitask and the amount of work we can accomplish. And mm-hmm. when you're like what you said, Raven, I love it, like goal centric mm-hmm. and like work, break it down into steps, and mm-hmm. as long as you can look at it as steps, whether it's like, okay, I'm gonna sleep 4 hours tonight, or it's like I'm gonna accomplish this task, like it's amazing what we can actually get through.
I wish I could say I'm gonna sleep 4 hours and then just like go to sleep for
sleep
four
hours.
That would be amazing.
One question I had for you with the fundraise, you want to tell us what you're doing or share any of that?
Yeah, I'm preparing for my seed round right now. I'm thinking I'm raising $275,000
nice.
For my seed round. Still putting those together, but
right.
really excited. Like I said, we'll be doing some pitching starting beginning of April. So
cool.
Getting excited.
And this
that.
Is really targeted around building Herb in Society.
That is correct.
Okay.
So it'll be what we need to launch. We're launching 4 boxes
awesome.
In 2019. So it'll be for inventory and marketing for those boxes.
That's so exciting.
Awesome. Awesome. We can't wait to check them out when you're ready.
Definitely.
Let us know. We'll be on your first list.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, since you don't deliver up to Sonoma County, we'll have you deliver to Joe.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
And then we'll pick them up. Or maybe you can expand up to us.
Supernova. Let me talk about
Supernova. Oh, yeah. I was just going to ask you about that. Okay, good.
We will be in Sonoma County.
Oh, tell us.
We're doing – so right now we're talking with Hall of Flowers.
Oh, yeah.
About we're hosting a networking event after the first day, so April 30th.
Okay.
Oh, great.
We'll be hosting a mixer.
Okay.
We would love to help partner
on
it.
Yeah, let us
it,
know
or...
how we can
awesome.
Assist.
Yeah.
Sweet. Because, yeah, I'm actually looking for a space right now.
Cool.
So I'll follow up with you guys on that. But so for Hall of Flowers, we are hosting a mixer for highlighting brands of color, black and brown people in the
cool.
industry. So it should be really fun. It's going to be smoke friendly. And that should be good. So we'll be on Sonoma then. I'll have a table for Herb in Society. So you guys can
love
check it out.
That's rad.
Yeah, okay, yeah, great. Well, we'll definitely have to get together.
Tell
when
us
you're
about
up there.
The work you're doing with Supernova Women from a community mm-hmm. mentoring, because you're yeah. doing some really inspirational stuff there.
Thank you. Yeah. So Supernova Women was founded in 2015 by four women of color in the cannabis industry. And what they have been doing since then is a lot of advocacy work and networking and events at the national level. They were really instrumental in putting together the Oakland Equity Program as well as other equity programs throughout the state of California and the state equity program that just passed.
Woohoo! $10 million, I think, right?
Yeah, $10 million, which is open for cities to apply. So I believe Oakland is applying
great.
For a loan, which is awesome.
That's great.
So Supernova, what we really care about is getting more women women of color, people of color in the cannabis industry as stakeholders. We realize that a lot of women who want to be in the industry lack the network and connections to do so. And so one of the things we do is host a lot of events, networking events, education events. Following the panel that we were on, Erin, a couple weeks ago, we hosted a Shades of Green event, which is one of our signature events, where we give education to interested community members about cannabis policy and like running a business in the cannabis industry. We have some presence coming up in Washington, D.C. Over 420. There's a National Cannabis Festival, which is really about getting advocacy around policy out about cannabis. And so we'll be there. Tabling, Hall of Flowers is coming up. And so we think Hall of Flowers is really important because it's one of the premier B2B trade shows in the state of California.
Definitely. It was beautiful last year. They do such a nice job.
The team is like really, really top notch. And we think that it's really important for brands of color to have presence at events like that. We've reached out to the team and they've been very open to working with us. And so we're excited to see how we can further that partnership. And we have a couple of other like events scheduled out through the year. But what we really focus on is increasing women of color, their network, their industry knowledge, and making sure that they know what they need to do to be advocates for a policy where they live.
That's great.
So we will make sure to link back to all of this information in our show notes. And then we can also list, you know, where you guys will be upcoming. If I would love for you to just give some shout outs for like your social media handles for both Herb and Society and Supernova Women and Community Gardens.
Yeah. So the Herb and Society is at Herban, H-U-R-B-A-N, Society, S-O-C-I-E-T-Y.
Like Garden Society.
Yeah, Garden Society. Yep. Spelling is great. Yes. And then Supernova Women is at Supernova, S-U-P-E-R-N-O-V-A, Women, W-O-M-E-N. That's our Instagram handle. And then Community Gardens, we are on Facebook at Community Gardens. Our Instagram got shut down out of like nowhere. And then I had to take a step back and reassess if Instagram was important to us. And I haven't decided for Community Gardens yet. But yeah.
And if our listeners want to order through your platform, do they order online? How do they actually buy from you?
Our information is on our Facebook. So Facebook is the best way.
Okay.
Cool. Okay, that's great.
That's awesome.
And then any events coming up you want to promote? So there's Hall of Flowers with Supernova. Does Supernova Women have any other events that people might be interested in checking out?
We follow us on Facebook. We have a lot of events coming out this year, pretty much starting in the summer, like one every month. So follow us on either Facebook or Instagram at Supernova Women, and you can kind of stay up tuned with those.
Cool. And we'll post them in the show notes too. Great.
Anything else you're burning with desire to talk about?
I love your idea. Not to interrupt you, sorry. I love your idea of like, how do we create a voice for underrepresented brands and founders so that the greater audience and the greater consumers are aware of the struggles and the issues, whether it's the war on drugs and the, you know, all the community stigma issues you're working to overcome there, or whether it's really how to spend their community dollars to support the issues that they really care about, and how to spend their consumer dollars. Because I think at the end of the day, that's what matters. People vote with their money.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think, I think it's really important that we create content like this that kind of like shows people like the real side of the plant. I think there needs to be more of this, more of these type of things, podcasts, videos, like written content around like what's happening. Because that's what Herb and Society, like part of our mission in every box is kind of like a booklet that goes over what's in the box, how to use it, because it's important that we tell our stories and it's from our perspective. And so it's like you're telling your story from the perspective of a woman. Like I can tell my story as a perspective of a woman of color, a person of color. And it's like all those voices need to be out right now. And so people can kind of hear from a real perspective, like what they're supporting when they walk into a dispensary and they're like, okay, yeah, I want those like Garden Society pre-rolls because I know Erin's super dope and like I support what they're doing. Like, and I think that we can get there easily. I think people want to know about it, but I think it's going to be stuff like this. That's like things that's fun for people to consume, and they don't, you know, it's not too heavy or anything like that. Yep. Because it's like, weed should be fun. Weed used to be fun.
So we talk should be about filled this, with joy.
This all the time in all of our talks with Garden Society lately, where mm-hmm. I think too much of the conversation around weed has been this hurts, that hurts. Mm-hmm. It's like permission for mm-hmm. ailments, where like what you talk about is so true and resonates, where it is fun to be high. Mm-hmm. It is fun to smoke cannabis. It is mm-hmm. fun to eat cannabis, whatever. Mm-hmm. Yes, it helps with physical ailments mm-hmm. and the medical side is very important. But
happiness is important too.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. the more joy you have, the better you feel. Just if you laugh, you feel better, right?
Right, right.
And so how do we shift the conversation in the cannabis community to be more joy-centric? And speaking mm-hmm. of that, Carly, what's your spark of joy?
I know. So I have my spark of joy this week happened spontaneously this weekend. I was in a super big funk. And I put on some music. I just watched Bohemian Rhapsody, which was, I didn't think it was a very good movie, but hopefully that's not an unpopular comment. But I still love Queen's music. So I put on Somebody to Love because I love anything that I can like sing my heart out to. And I danced around like a wild goon in my living room with my almost 3-year-old daughter and just sang my heart out. And it felt so good and it sparked so much joy. And so I'm going to make everyone go around and say what their fun song is and inspire all of our listeners to write in what their favorite song is to kind of just let loose and go wild.
That's a good one.
This is like a pressure situation.
And while we do that, we're going to break out a little SFEOG pre-roll from Garden Society and pass that around.
Ooh, I love it. Yes. OG. I have to say mine. I have two. But this is like so time period centric, I think, where like I like everything, but I love Regulators. Only because it's like literally memories of like jumping on the couch, hanging out with my friends, like being in that place where like I wasn't worried about being a mom right. and the pressures and the founder freedom, right. and the freedom, right?
Chilling.
What about you, Raven?
Okay, so my power song right now has been Cash Doll.
Ooh.
It's called Ice Me Out.
Yeah.
I was like, that's why like, I have to.
That's very relevant.
Rap, I'll like, play okay. It. It's, okay. It's awesome.
I love it.
Basically, because I'm raising money right now too. So
definitely.
It's like Ice Me Out. Like,
yeah. Yeah. It puts you in the mindset.
Yeah.
That was like, I was definitely Running with Girls by Beyonce for a while too.
Right.
Where I
exactly.
was like, with the marching, where you're like, I'm just going to do this.
We're you guys have this. So much yeah. more meaning behind it. I'm like, I just like mine because I know the words.
I don't know any words ever. So,
what's yours?
Well, if I'm being like you,
yeah.
I will just belt out George Ezra at the top of my lungs. But if I'm like you girls, it would be started from the bottom, now a hit.
It's been an honor having you here. I've loved getting to know about your business. I can't wait to further the conversation around, you mentioned earlier, the differences between equity and diversity. And I think that that's something really important for us to just dive into even deeper. So I'm really excited to continue the conversation off air.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would love to have you guys back on for season 2.
Hells yeah.
And we can look at how we can bring in maybe some more Supernova women mm-hmm. or some other brands we can work with and, you know, keep building and having these honest conversations from an authentic place about the business and also about the joy of it all.
Yeah, I think that's great. I'd love to talk about that. I think we could bring in some cool people and have a dope conversation about that.
Let's do it.
Rad.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. We love all of you and we can't wait for next episode of Garden Society, the podcast.
Be sure to check the podcast show notes at thegardensociety.com for a deeper dive into each episode. Engage with Carly and Aaron via social at GRDN Society. If you like what you hear, help spread the joy. Subscribe, rate, and review Garden Society, the podcast, on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. Garden Society, the podcast, is produced by Joanna Newding and recorded in the Casually Baked Studio in downtown Oakland, California. Sound engineering is performed by Arnav Gupta.